Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Lepondre looking to get close side of Font. Lepondre away from David. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello, everyone. It's that time of the week again. We are reviewing another Reading FC loss. It is, of course, the Elm Park Rules podcast. We are obviously looking back at the game yesterday against Millwall. Obviously, podcast as well brought to you by Blue Collar Street Food. Almost missed that. I nearly missed the sponsors. I can never do that. We love you, Blue Collar. Obviously, 1-0 loss against Millwall, and we've got two fantastic people to try and G up this performance a bit. We're going to try and depict the game. Might not take too long to depict the game, but everything around it, there's quite a bit to talk about. So to help me, I've got Callum.
Morning.
How are you doing?
I don't know if I'll be G-ing up the atmosphere in here, because it was one of the worst displays I've ever seen from a Reading team.
I think that thought was probably mirrored by quite a few others. Nick, as well as joining us, is that kind of your view as well?
Yeah, so I don't think I can G up the podcast much more than that, to be honest.
Well, we're off to a good start anyway. So, I mean, let's not try and paint it up. It was a dismal performance, and we're going to go into a few of the reasons why. Obviously, to start with, I'm going to try and G this up again. The good, the bad, and the injured. There must have been something good about yesterday. Come on. No, we're struggling here. We're struggling, aren't we?
It's I'm a bit speechless. I don't know what could be perceived as good in a 1-0 defeat where we didn't create any chances.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Millwall were a decent team, so we don't have to play them again this season. And that's it.
Positive. Don't have to play Millwall until next season. Right, we'll take it. We'll take it. I had a lovely bangers and mash when I got home anyway. So that was a positive for me. So yeah, always like a bangers and mash on a Saturday evening. But if we flip over to the bad, because yeah, there wasn't anything good. We're trying to paint up a turd there, to be honest. with the bad, Nick, kick us off with some of the bad points.
Same lineup is a bad point when we didn't create anything and there's no attacking intent in there. Not creating anything for me it's a big worry. Third game in a row that we haven't scored in, and what was it? No shots on target or one shot on target, whatever it was. It's not acceptable at home.
Yeah, it was a big zero shots on target, wasn't it? It was only two shots overall. Like you said, unchanged team for only the second time this season. He did it after Sunderland away when we lost 1-0 for the Rotherham home game. And we won that game, but only really because like the forced injuries to Long, to Baba, meant that Aziz had to come on at half-time. So did Guinness Walker, so did Fauna. I mean, there were two injuries at half-time in this game. Dan went off and who else went off?
Yedon
went off, Yedon. Of course. So Mbenga came on and Moore came on, but like you said, so he's not made those changes proactively, Paul Ince. He's not gone, let's get more attacking. He's just injuries. He's just replacing like for like. He's not changed anything despite the fact we're losing 1-0 at home and creating nothing. And he's happy with the Sheffield United performance and the Sunderland performance. He's happy that, in his words, we competed, which is great. I mean, I love competing and losing 1-0 and creating nothing. It's amazing.
Well, if you set up to draw a game and all you're going to do is try and hold on to a 0-0, if you're still there at, you know, 80 minutes, of course you're going to say you've competed, but are you really competing? Not really, I don't think, you know. I think a massive bad as well, just interjecting it, is the midfield. We've said it about 20 times this season. It's just non-existent every single week. I guess it's not to be... Well, you shouldn't be too surprised when you've got McIntyre and McIntyre and Hendrick in there. Not overly creative, but I mean, something needs to change with it.
It's the spine of the team, and to be honest, it's not been there all season. Whoever's been there, it's just not performed. I think the one player that's maybe stood out there when he's been fit is Hutchinson, and he hasn't been fit in months and months and months now. So it's like we can't really consider him anyway at the moment. Cassidy's, let's see how he does. He's young. He's not really played much at the moment, but it's his first time in senior football. It's a lot of expectation on him. And then, yeah, Hendrick, Fauna, Louvre, consistency and just not being good enough most of the time. There's no spine in the team. And we've lost all of our midfield last season, replaced them with, I guess, what we could. And yeah, it's frustrating. To be honest, I can't see it improving. I don't know how we can address that this season. I just don't think it's possible.
Well, I think he can start better players because he has his favourites. So obviously, he loves Jeff Hendrick. He'll always get a start if he's fit. Tom Ince, he always gets a start, which I think we're quite numb to at this point because we just accept it. But he has been awful. Like his levels from the start of the season, they haven't been there for a few months now. He's still scored a couple of goals here and there, but he's been playing less and less well. He's been getting more and more aggressive with the referees, with his own teammates. Like he throws his arms up yesterday after he shanked a shot wide from 30 yards as if that's someone else's fault. He did the same when Tom Holmes took a throw into him and he miscontrolled it. He seems like an absolute ball sack to play with, as in just I can't get on board with that being our kind of our key player in midfield, that he's just, yeah, he's so petulant. And then Paulin says after the game that he's our only source of creativity. And well, yeah, of course, because he's the only one you play. You don't play Cassidy. You don't play Aziz. You take off Guinness Walker after 60 minutes or don't start him at all. You don't start Zhao. Like, of course, when your other options are like centre-backs in midfield or centre-backs at wing-back, he will be the only creative option. But he's not a good creative option. He's got 4 assists all season from set pieces. Like he's not this kind of outstanding player that I think people think he is.
Yeah, it's more his goals, isn't it, than his assists. And like you said, he isn't as creative as Paul Ince has given him credit for. And the players that like you said, Aziz, etc., they're not playing. What I didn't realise until recently, Hoylett as well, he's been playing mostly at wing-back this season. He's got one goal and no assists. Yeah. And considering he's a winger, and even as a wing-back, he's meant to be attacking, no assists is shocking. It's just not good enough all round. Most of the players have been starting all season. They've not been chipping in enough with assists and goals as well.
Yeah, because, I mean, the setup isn't creative. We have the lowest expected assist in the league, which means create chances for teammates. We get chances off kind of bounces, deflections, etc. Created 0.07 XG yesterday, despite being behind since the 10th minute. And if you kept the match going until Reading created enough XG for one goal, we'd be here till 1:30 on Sunday PM, almost 24 hours. That's how bad it was. It's just nothing.
It's concerning.
It's really concerning. It's really concerning, you know. But I think a lot of it's coming back to, again, the setup, you know, from Ince. It's weird at the moment. It's really weird. You know, I think most people, if you'd have offered where we are on the table at the moment before the season, would have snapped your hand off. But it's like the way we've regressed seemingly through the season, and it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And Ince is finding more and more excuses, and he's pulling different things out the hat every single week. And they're not even being coherent to what he's previously saying. He's bringing out different things week on week. that he's now deciding to blame, you know, for whether it's chance creations, referees, the weather, what day of the week we're playing, the shade of sun, you know, there's different excuses every single week, and they're becoming more and more bonkers. But we'll get onto the post-match comments from Ince after the game, because there was a game, surprisingly. Not really that anything happened. We go through this moment by moment, goal by goal. I joked yesterday with Callum, I think we're going to have to go through shot by shot for Reading, because as we said, there was only two shots. One of them did come in the seventh minute, Jeff Hendrick, 30 yards, blocked. Done. There we go. That's the first shot done. Any other comments? I'm not even sure if you remember it, to be honest. I didn't remember it until about...
Was it blocked? I don't think it reached
it. Blocked. Yeah, no, yeah. No. It was blocked on the edge of the area. That was it. Yeah.
Nice.
There we go. One shot. We're halfway to... No, a third of the way to the end of the podcast. we then had another mistake, and we've talked about it many times, mistakes. I mean, Callum, on your podcast, you've spoken about mistakes as well and the reasons behind them. Naby Sarr and Joe Lumley on this, it's a culmination of errors again from both of them. And it's, again, not the first time this season.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, with Naby Sarr to start with, I mean, the first mistake is playing him. I don't think he's been very good at any point for us this season. I think he's looked slightly better recently because he's had less to do. But I'd always be more protected playing middle centre-back in a three. But I just think there's no redeeming qualities, because there's an easy pass option over to Guinness Walker to the left of him. And he tries to go back into McIntyre in a crowded midfield where McIntyre's not even like showing for it, because he doesn't expect the pass to come to him. He messes up the execution anyway. They get in. I think Lumley does horribly because Scott Dan's still there. So, you know, if Lumley stays deeper, Fleming still has to kind of go at Scott Dan before making the shot. Or try to go past him. So it's not even a one-on-one. But Lumley rushes
running,
out.
He's running wide as well. He's not even right. Yeah. He's not even in the center of you know, the box, or running exactly. Like, down the middle. He's running out to the right.
Yeah. And it, like, I mean, it's on the edge of the box, so it's maybe out. If it's out, there's a good chance it's a red. So I don't know if it's better that it was a penalty. Because obviously you can't get double jeopardy if it's in the box. But I mean, yeah, Joe Lumley sweeping is never something you want to see.
I have to say, I think it's in the box. I mean, Nick, you've seen it back. Do you think it's in the box? Are you in the contentious penalty?
I'm really struggling to tell, if I'm honest. It looks like it's either literally on the line or just outside. But again, I guess the problem is, as Callum just pointed out, with double jeopardy, if it's outside the box, he's probably sent off. So in a way, do you want to play with 10 men knowing that you'll probably lose definitely 1 or 2-0 if we go down to 10 men that early in the game? Or do we take the penalty, probably concede, go 1-0 down, but have an opportunity with 11 men to try and get back into it at home? So it's a tough one. I mean, we didn't ultimately, so obviously it's a bit pointless, but I'd probably rather have that opportunity to play with the 11 men than the 10 men. But it's very tight. It's not literally on the line. I don't think he's very far into the box, if at all. I think that in general, the frustrating thing for me overall with this is that we can't score at the moment. We can't keep a clean sheet at the moment. And it seems to be when we're losing is 1-0, one mistake that costs us. And when you have that mistake that's getting punished week after week and we can't score, it's just we're losing 1-0 every week. And if we're not losing 1-0, we're getting pumped 5-0. So it's quite frustrating to see that we can't rely on a defence or an attack at the moment. So I can't see a way out of this rut.
Yeah, and when there's so many mistakes happening from different players each week, it's definitely more of a collective issue, because you think, and Pundit always says that he can't coach decision-making, which is how he kind of absolves himself of blame in those moments. But Matt Williamson on our podcast said, it is a manager's job to coach decision-making. Naby Sarr should know in that instance, he's got to play at left centre-back or back to the keeper. Mm-hmm. That should be coached into him to not play that into midfield, into a crowded area. And then you don't have those mistakes.
Yeah, and you've seen, I guess a lot of people have probably seen these documentaries on Amazon with like Arteta and Pep Guardiola, and nowhere am I comparing Paul Ince to either of these. But when you watch them coach, and they're showing, especially Pep, if you see the Man City documentary, All or Nothing, I think it is, the All or Nothing Man City documentary, and he's telling players how to move, where to be off the ball, where to play the ball, when to come inside, and that's proper management. And I know there's levels to it compared to Paul Ince, but you're right. That's just basically me saying you're right. You can coach this decision making and where to be and how to be.
Well, ultimately, if you're a coach at this level, if you're a player at this level, you know, you're not going to be taught how to shoot. You're not going to be taught how to pass 5 yards. You know, you're gonna know how. Well, maybe Nabitar needs to learn how to pass 5 yards. Saying that because he seemingly struggles every single week. But like the basis of a football player is already in these players. They don't really need to, like, the basics they need to learn is the decisions that you want them to make in the system that you want to play. And if you can't actually teach that, what are you doing every week?
Because you've seen good teams. It doesn't have to be Arsenal, Man City, it can be at championship level, like you said too. They'll know, because the possession structures are so coached. Now he starts like, I've got the ball here, I know where to pass to because I know Guinness Walker's always going to be there. But the problem in this system is that no one knows where anyone's going to be. It's all improvisation, and so everyone has to get the ball and then think where they're going to play it and where the people are going to be, because they don't know. They don't know that, like, Ince is always going to be in the same position, like, and it's easy to pass to him.
One comment, the guy I stand next to at the game, Adam, he said to me during the game that it literally looks like they've never played before. Yeah. They've never played together, you know, which they do, and which we're in March. We're nearly halfway through March, and we're saying this about a team. They've played 36 games at this point, and they look like they've never played together.
We're regressing, though. I don't think it's even... We've been like this all season to an extent. I think at the start of the season, we looked okay. We seemed to... We weren't great. We were just, you know, being a bit gritty with the results to an extent. But we looked better with like a Long and Zhao up front, and we were being direct and getting it forward without necessarily lumping it every time. And if I'm honest, it's since Carroll's come into the team that the team's regressed and the tactics have regressed. And it's like we're trying to play a different way to how we were, and we're just sort of going for Carroll. And I don't, it just seems in his head, he just seems to think this is how we should play. And it's just not worked. And I reckon if you look at how we, like, our points per game before Carroll and after Carroll, be significantly different.
Yeah, I agree. Because there was one instance yesterday where Tom Holmes has got the ball just in a half under no pressure and just loops, just lumps the diagonal towards Carroll, and it doesn't go anywhere because it never does. Because Carroll's not what he used to be. He's not as aerial dominant. He's still good, but he's not like amazing like he used to be. And even if he does win the knockdown, what happens then? Like, does Shane Long go and take past three players? Like, it's,
there's literally no plan. Like it gets lumped to Carroll, and it's like, and this is what we talk about, the coaching of decision making from Ince. There's seemingly no coherence with the team of actually what do you do once the ball is in the air and going to Carroll? How do we win that second ball? Where every time is Carroll going to be trying to get the ball?
Yeah.
Because you can't be just lumping it to Carroll and hoping he wins the header, and then it's like, oh well, let's just hope it comes to me wherever. Because like it's just ridiculous, you know.
We've built a focal point around Carroll, and we did this last season under Panovic to an extent when he came in the first time, and Ince has done it again. And we should be building it around Zhao, even if he's frustrated and can be lazy and isn't in good form. But we should be building around Zhao because he will still score more goals in open play and create more in open play than Carroll and Long will throughout the whole season. And we could, I just think we look better that way. And we're giving him a number nine shirt as well. That's a statement of intent when you're given a strike of a number nine shirt when he's never had it before. And it's just, he doesn't play. He hasn't started a game in 3 months. It's crazy. So he hasn't been given, he can't make a difference off the bench. He's not an impact player at all.
The crazy thing about that as well is that even though Zhao hasn't played, Carroll's got 6 goals this season. Lucas Zhao's got 5. You know, Lucas Zhao is a goal scorer. No matter what you think about his work rate, about what he does off the ball, his attitude, he scores goals. If he plays a full championship season, he's going to be in and around 20 goals a season. That's what every club in the championship wants. Clubs are crying out for 20 goals a season strikers. We've got one, and he's on the bench week after week after week.
Doesn't get on. I'd be looking at, going forward, Zhao as a constant with either Aziz or Ince, and sometimes Long maybe, just to freshen it up. But I'd be looking at Aziz or Ince. If we're playing this back three formation with the two up front and we're not playing wingers still, then it has to be Ince or Aziz with Zhou. And I think that's the best way you're going to get chemistry out there. Mm.
Yeah, because also if you talk about those Carroll six goals, I'm fairly sure half of those are penalties.
Yeah.
Two of them are from corners. So it's like, well, from open play, he offers nothing. And when you look at front two, Long's also not got a goal from open play this season. I think he's been better than Carroll in terms of his overall play, his link play. He's been better. He's been running behind a bit. But yeah, fine, play Long with Zhou. Like, just but the fact that Andy Carroll plays 90 minutes unquestionably each week is baffling. Well, and it just goes back to Ince's favourites. He's got on the team.
It goes back to the favourites and kind of his tactics. And I mean, it happened again yesterday, like when Ince makes his substitutions. I mean, he made substitutions yesterday very early. Like you said, Callum, a lot of them were enforced because you had Yeardham injured. You had Scott Dan injured as well, so he made two substitutions there at half time. Liam Moore coming on and Mbengue at wing back. But after that, he then goes on to take Long off for Zhou. And how many times have we said it this season? Zhou and Carroll up top is quite possibly the worst combination you can ever put up top. It just doesn't work. We've seen it time after time after time, like, and it happens week after week after week, you know, whether it's 65 minutes, 70 minutes, 60 minutes, that is the change that always happens. Long off for Zhou, you know, and now you're just putting two players that just like, they are incompatible, you know.
Yeah, but I just, and for all season I've said this, Paul Ince does not think about it like that. He does not. Sometimes you think with managers, oh, are we not seeing the bigger picture? Are they thinking, you know, two steps ahead? I just think he's a bit thick. I don't think he thinks about the way players combine. Because like you said, Zhou, the way his game goes, he goes off little one-twos, little touches. Shenlong's pretty good at that. He could do little, you know, little flicks around the corner. Andy Carroll can't. The way Andy Carroll thrives is, you know, long balls crossing, you know, in the air. Zhou, I mean, he's all right in the air, but that's not the way he plays. They don't, like you said, they don't play well together. But I just don't think he thinks about that at all. And the fact that Lucas Zhou and Yaku Mate, because he was barely getting a start before when it got injured anyway, those two players have been ostracised this season and barely starting is criminal.
Well, again,
they're great championship forwards.
They are, and you know, Yaku Mate on the wing, you're not going to find, you know, many that is as powerful as him on the wing. People can talk about his end quality, but the one thing he has got is power. And again, like we talk about the assist column, you know, like Lucas Zhou and the scorers column, he's one behind our striker. You know, Yaku Mate is second in the assists. And how many minutes has he played this season? You could probably count it on one hand, you know, and well, he's got three assists.
He missed that penalty with Swansea. And I feel like Paul Ince has overly punished him for it. Yeah, take him a penalty. He's maybe drop him for the next game, but he barely played him after that for a long time and even wouldn't bring him on.
But back then he was even playing him in striker though back then. He wasn't playing him in his best position.
Yeah, and he after the game when he played against Blackpool, he said, "Oh, I didn't know he was best on the right."
I know.
That's mental.
Like, he's played there for literally years. Yeah.
Well,
I do think Mate's always wanted to play striker, I think, because he's come out and said that he wants to be a striker. But whenever he's played there, that's never his best position. Surely as a coach, you must know, or you must be able to get the data to see where they're best at. You know, you must be able to get the tape and see where your players play best. Whether that's on the wing, whether that's number 10, whether that's up front, or wherever.
But I still don't think he's awful at striker. He had that. I mean, he's been all right at striker this season, I think, and better than
he gets a lot of scruffy goals, I think, when he plays striker.
Yeah, that's kind of his game, because he's not a clean footballer in the way he plays. Like, he's not technically secure or anything. But like, you think about that Jose Gomez when we were escaping relegation, it was him and Barrow up front, and that was Yaku Mate at his best. He was getting goals and assists all over the place. Like, Yeah, he's probably better on the wing, but he can't play striker, and that's not a reason to not start him, I don't think.
I think as well, it's decision making with like the tactics of playing the winger and not playing the winger. So like Blackpool, we went with the back four. Yeah, it was a bit shaky at times, but it worked, and we had the wingers, and that really worked. It was effective. You then play Middlesbrough, who are arguably the second best team after Burnley since Carrick, and he plays the back four again, thinking, "Oh, it really worked. It really worked." We're playing a Middlesbrough team that's so fluid and tearing teams apart with a shaky back four. And he just should have gone back to the back three for that game and then maybe gone back to the back four again for the home games. It's just his all-round decision-making as a manager is a bit shambolic. A bit probably being easy on him, to be honest.
Yeah, he doesn't think proactively.
No, not at all. And you almost think
because he had for this game, like... Go on.
Sorry, go on, Callum.
For this game as well. Because he then plays the same teams he did for the last game, and the exact same issues happen. He doesn't think proactively as to what, you know, why he might have to change the lineup for this game, or like you said, Nick, for the Borough game. It's every decision is made off like a one game lag, which just, it's the most reactive manager I think we've had.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to kind of the points around how it sets up every single game. Like Nick, you say, you know, you go to a Borough team and you stick a back four. That's probably the one time you'd want to change it to a back five.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
like you say, it's just time after time, week after week, it's just wrong decisions and it's everybody's fault. But it is every single week. So
starting Harrison Long, as we've touched on up front, is just shouldn't happen. They're just not. 5 years ago, they'd been an amazing strike force in the Championship, but now it's, yeah, we're living in the past a bit. And I think Ince is stuck in the past in that respect. He's thinking that Karen and Long are these legends of the game that are still in their peak, and they're not. We're not going to score with those two up front.
No. No, and kind of on the topic of not scoring, the second shot came in from Reading, 74th minute, Tom Ince. 25 yards, high wide, and I think, according to Twitter, a set of broken glasses. And that was it for the game, which is bonkers. Two shots.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's just I can't get my head around a game where we've had two shots at home, you know, and it's weird to think that that's not a surprise this season, because we've seen so many games this season away from home. I've seen loads of them, sadly, where it's just been turgid every single time. No attacking intent. I'm baffled how we had, you know, nearly 60% possession yesterday and only got two shots. It's a baffling style of football at the moment, and kind of period that we're in. But kind of on the game yesterday, I said it after, it was probably one of the worst performances I've ever seen from a Reading team, and probably one of the worst games I've ever seen. I mean, Callum, likewise, or?
Yeah, I mean, we've never played free-flowing football under Paul Ince. We've been set-piece FC. The set-pieces yesterday, also awful. I don't know what Ince has done to stop taking... Everyone is, like, first man, they better get off the floor. Like,
well, just a quick one on the set-pieces as well. The long throw-ins that we always do, have we actually even had a shot come of a long throw in this season? Which that's the baffling thing for me. You know, we've tried this now for 36 games. I dread to think how many long throw-ins we've done in that time as well. It's probably nearing 100 or so, I'd like to think. You know, if you're getting two or three per game, you're going to be near that at this point in the season. And we've not had a shot come of any of these long throws.
Yes, because there's no plan to them. I mean, Jordan went mental after the, I think it was a Sunderland game. We had a long throw, and for once, Carroll or the defender, we won the flick on essentially, and the ball dropped in the 6 yard box, and no one was making the run.
Yeah.
Because there's no plan to it. And that's with every set pieces. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's not me just conjecturing. Ince and Ray have said that before. Like when Hendrick scored the, I think it was it Rotherham? He scored the volley off the corner. But he said that wasn't planned. Ince and Hendrick, they just went, oh, look, Hendrick's in a bit of space. I'll try that. They don't plan set pieces. So we can't be surprised when the set pieces aren't doing so well, because there's no thought into them.
No. No, which is worrying. You know, it's massively worrying, because it just goes back to the whole point around what is the point of Ince being manager? There's no plan. There's no coherence. There's no, you know, I would love to be a fly on the wall for 1 week of training at the moment at Reading FC, because I don't know what they're doing, you know, week on week.
It says it all when the highlights show two Reading chances and Ince's shot is the second of those chances. The first chance that they show is not even a chance. It's a set of three crosses that were cleared. And that's how pathetic our creativity was yesterday, to show that that's how desperate it was to put a Reading highlight in the highlight package. That's one of the two highlights, is three crosses cleared in a row. And none of them were close to us connecting with a cross either. They were just straight from Millhead clear. Yeah. In again, straight from Millhead clears. The Ince corner, more crosses it. And I think someone else crosses after that. And it's just, that's how desperate it was to get a highlight in. But what I will say is as well, the one team is that you don't want to go behind in early, at home or away, is a Gary Rowett team. That Millwall team are just so well drilled. And it's not an excuse for us creating nothing. But when we do create nothing, they're the one team you don't want to concede against early on, because they're going to be harder than anyone to break down after that, even if you are an attacking team.
And I think that Millwall team is who Paul Ince thinks his Reading team is.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, good at set pieces, you know, solid at the back. They'll give up possession, but it doesn't matter because they've got a compact defensive shape. Yeah. They've still got a bit of attacking throughout the counter there. That's who Paul Ince thinks we are and should be, which is not necessarily a bad thing. If we were playing at Millwall, that's fine, but we don't. We do a lot of things a lot worse than they do.
Agree. We're a poor man's Millwall, basically.
Well, yeah. Ince came out after the game. Obviously, his press conference came out, and I think the Ince press conference roulette was out, and the bingo cards were out on comments he was going to make and what he was going to decide to blame this week. I mean, some of his comments afterwards was one mistake. That was it. That's the basis why we lost the game. No, it wasn't, Paul. We lost the game because we only had two shots, and none of them were on target. You know, how can you say that was the basis we lost the game? No, it wasn't. It's just. He talked about it being a scruffy game, a horrible game. That's the way, you know, they want to play. The referee doesn't help. There's the referee.
Which is hilarious. Because he's insinuating that interrupted our rhythm as a football team, as if we're like the, you know, the Man City of the Championship where they are fouling us all the time, you know. I was like, that's good. We love set pieces. We want a stop-start game. That suits us.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where we've got our goals from this season, right? You know, set pieces, you know. And... like maybe he thinks we weren't getting fouls high enough up the pitch, but maybe, Paul, that's because you've not got a plan to get these players up the pitch. Maybe look at yourself and your bloody tactics for once.
Yeah, because on that, the way he set up, because he did change it slightly, and he's been doing this a bit recently where he goes 3-4-1-2, so Ince is higher behind the strikers. Problem with that then is you've got two of the wing backs and you've got the two centre mids on McIntyre and Hendrick, neither of which are going to get on the ball, you know, turn on the half turn and play into Ince or into the strikers. They're not midfielders to excel at passing in those tight spaces. So how do we get the ball up the pitch? There's no plan for that. He's moved Ince higher because he thinks, oh, that will get more goals or more assists. But then we just forget the fact that Ince picks the ball up from the centre-backs quite a lot of the time and tries things. They're not always great, but he tries things. But then if he's not there, then who's doing that? We're not getting up the pitch. And I don't know what the plan is to get up the pitch, barring hoofing to Carroll.
Half the problem as well, if we try and go down the wings, and I noticed it a couple of times yesterday, we get the ball out to Yeardham and Mbengue or Guinness Walker or T-Mac, whoever's playing on either side of the wing. And there's about a 20-yard void inside of them where you need midfielders, or you need somebody who you can play into midfield. You can play a 1-2. Often the person he's playing a 1-2 to is the right or left centre-backs. You know, on either sides, and there's just nothing in midfield. And it's like, well, how are you? You know, you're trying to play it wide, and I guess playing it wide makes sense because you can get down the wing, you can get ball into Andy Carroll on the few times when he's actually in the box and not on the halfway line. But it's like, if that's your plan, you've got to have a plan to actually get from, you know, your back line to the edge of their box where you can get a cross in. And if you've got nobody in front of you, you've got no midfield there to be able to play into. You know, play some passes, do some triangles, do some 1-2s in. How are you going to get up there? You know, and that's when so many times it just goes back to the centre back and it then goes long to Carroll, and then we don't win the second ball because there's no one there to win the knock on. There's no plan. Ince hasn't told the players, oh, make sure you're here, make sure you're there. You know, to give you the best chance.
And there was one moment yesterday where McIntyre at left wing back, which in itself was mad. The fact that he made some subs and ended up with McIntyre at left wing back over Guinness Walker when chasing a goal.
Most defensive option.
Yeah, but there was a time that he got to him and he was in a bit of space, but he's about 50 yards from the goal. He's got a defender up against him. And like you said, no one in midfield to combine to create like a numerical superiority or to do a 1-2 off or something. Like, what is your plan to isolate Tom Akhtar against their wing back and get him to take him on 1v1? Because that's a centre back. And like,
this is Tommy Maldini though. Let's remember. Yeah. You know, so.
I mean, but the thing is that if he tries to do it and he doesn't come off, it's will go bananas and it'll drop him for a few games because he hates playing, people making mistakes.
Well, it kind of goes back to, I guess, what we've said for a lot of the season. It's just like with Ince's tactics, they're just he's setting them up to fail week on week, and he doesn't help himself. You know, another thing he kind of goes on to say, the only disappointing thing was that we didn't have a shot on target, sorry, which isn't like us at home. Well, we didn't have a shot on target against Sheffield United either, Paul.
But we did compete, though. Don't forget that. We did compete.
And it was a better performance to Borough, which wasn't... I mean, you could have just turned up and had a better performance than we did at Borough.
I don't know if it is. Because I accept we're not the best team in the league and we'll lose some games. And against Borough away, they're really good. We lost 5-0. It was shit. But like, it happens. You know, you lose 5-0,
it happens. But I think
losing these games, we're like, and that we lost that game because we're terrible. And we also lost these games because we're terrible. But also, we didn't try. At 0-1, we're not going to a fullback. We're not chucking on attackers. We're not trying. We're losing games out of Ince's cowardice rather than kind of, I mean, also because we're inept. But this one, there was there to get a point out of. And he doesn't try enough. He doesn't risk things.
No, he doesn't. And it's just where all the frustration's coming from. And I mean, Nick, give me your opinions on this. But like, there's so many comments here from Ince yesterday that just baffled me, because he's talked in the past, in previous weeks, about this team not being good enough. Oh, we're not a good enough team to play football. We can't do this. We can't do that. We've not got the players. He then goes on to say, we have to keep the spirits up. I'm not sitting here doom and gloom. Well, you've castrated your players for the last 5 weeks for not being good enough. How would you even justify a comment like that after you've just... I can't even... That one really frustrated me, Nick. I mean, I don't know what your thoughts were.
Yeah, for a few weeks now, he's been talking about, you know, how bad the squad is and how bad the players are. But then he's like, oh, we need to keep up the belief. But he should be, I don't know, I feel like he's just trying to play mind games with everyone or something. I don't, but it's backfiring because it doesn't make sense. But we must not say that to the players in the dressing room. We must be saying, I'm just going to say you're all shit. Because
how do you feel though if you're a player in the dressing room? Because you know, T-Mac and that, they're on Twitter, you know, they're relatively active on it. They're going to see these comments.
Yeah, he must. I just can't see him not saying, oh, yeah, I'm just going to tell the press you're shit, but I don't actually think you're shit. Because why would he say that? Like, he's gonna lose the dressing room. Maybe he is losing the dressing room. I don't know. It's just bizarre though, isn't it? It's just bizarre.
It's easier or harder to lose the dressing room when your son's there.
This question's come up a lot, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's an interesting one.
It's probably harder just because...
It depends how they feel about Tom, I guess.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think if they... I mean, considering he's our best player and he scores most of our goals, I don't think you can not back his dad while Tom Ince is... I know he's been a bit awful the last few games, but he's still our highest performer by a country mile. So you can't really... lose that, unless maybe that's what's happening. That's maybe where Tom Ince is dropping off. I don't know. It's a hard one to answer.
Well, I guess with that one, you're always going to have one player who's going to run through brick walls for you. And that's one thing that maybe other managers don't have at that point if you're losing the dressing room.
Yeah. Tom Ince specifically always did that even before his dad came in. He was always had that work rate. Maybe
it
was
a couple of weeks though, wasn't it, before his dad came in?
It can go too far. Like yesterday, I mean, I don't know how he hasn't got a red for us this season.
I thought he was going to get a red yesterday, I have to say, because I thought someone was going to lose their head. Yeah,
well, because you put an awful tackle, got booked for it, but every game he's going at the ref, and he never gets booked for it. And I'm shocked as to how he hasn't been sent off yet.
There's caring and passion, and then there's just being silly and like asking for it. And he's on the line, isn't he? It's like he's crossing the line slightly a bit, and he needs to be careful, because you're right, he will get that second booking at some point. It will happen.
Well, the last thing kind of Paul Ince kind of said about was the creativity. We've talked about this already about kind of, you know, he goes on to say it always comes through Thomas, and that's the way it's going to be for the next 10 games. We can't change it. That's where we are. Well, Paul, maybe try something different. You know, what you're doing at the moment isn't
you
working.
Are the manager.
Yeah, you are the manager. You know, yeah, you can try it. Things. You can, you've got players, you know, you've got one of the best Italian prospects on your books in Cassidy, you know, pretty unknown, like on that front, because he's not played any, or the only professional football he's played is with us. But, you know, maybe try him. He might do better than Jeff Hendrick there. Maybe try someone else instead of McIntyre. It might work. But sadly, if you're reluctant to change, your results aren't going to change.
Yeah, and get Aziz in either from the start or far earlier in the game and let him run at players and just give him some freedom to go at, because he's been showing it off the bench when he's been given the time. And yesterday it was just far too late to bring on Aziz. 10 minutes to go, 1-0 down. He should have been one of the first subs they made. Half an hour, 25 minutes to go. He should have been on and given that time to settle in, bed in, and have a go whilst we were having that bit of momentum was there and we were having a lot more of the ball. And we should have just thrown someone like that on to change formation as well. Go for back four, play wingers, and go 4-4-2 if you have to. Don't just do something.
I think half the problem is, like, so many times there's so many different points in the team I can say that, you know, they should be subbed because, you know, Cal should have come off. Changes in the midfield should have happened yesterday. You know, there's so many changes that can be happening in this team. But it's coming from the fact that it's just set up atrociously by Ince at the start of the game, you know.
I wouldn't even mind seeing, like, Kelvin, Ehab, Hattiman, I think that's how you say it, him even getting on the bench. I know we can't start him because of the permitted players rule, but he can come off the bench. And at the moment, when the strikers are doing nothing, having him as a sub option for, like, 10, 15 minutes and throwing him on with two or three up front, I'd just do something like that. Just try something different.
Yeah, but by that time, we've already wasted 75 minutes by having Carroll on the pitch.
That's the issue, isn't
I know,
it?
I know. That's the thing is that we're talking about this is because Paul Ince is like, he's bullied us all into thinking that we have to start Carroll, we have to start Ince, we have to start Hendrick, we have to start Sarr, all these players. I'm like, no, you don't. Like, I'd love to see
a squad.
I don't think our squad's the best in the world, but it's all right. There are good players in there. I'd love to see a new manager.
It's competitive, I'd say. I'd say it's competitive in this league.
Mm. Yeah, and like, but it's just the way he plays players out of position. Like, even yesterday, Tom McIntyre played two positions, neither of them his best position. He's been playing well at centre back this season, and it helps our creativity to have him there progressing the ball from left centre back, making those runs up the channel, doing the underlap, everything. He's been good at that, but then he gets pushed out of other positions to play Naby Sarr, which means that we don't play Fornal or Cassidy in midfield because McIntyre's there. Like, he's playing Aziz at left wing back, that's not even his position. And then he wonders, oh, why aren't these players doing well? Because he
square
just doesn't get
in round holes.
Yeah, and
that's what it comes down to.
And he's like, oh, we can't change it. We can't change it. I was like, well, I can't change it, but I mean, you can.
Yeah, Paul, but you're the manager. You know, or supposedly. Okay, can we call him a manager? Because he doesn't really seem to do much at this stage. I guess bottom line at the moment for us: no goals in three games. Failed to score in the last seven. Failed to score in five of the last seven games, which is just dreadful. You know, like any team that can't score in five games in seven, that is just shocking. You know, yes, people might say some of them are away from home, some of them are against, you know, really good teams. We've played Borough, we've played obviously Millwall, Sheffield United, all in the top six, but
it's Blackburn next, though. It's going to get worse. They're going to tear us apart. I can't see anything other than us getting thumped again. I really can't. Yeah. Sorry for the negative, but I just can't see it.
Whenever we do the previews, I can't predict a win. I can barely even predict a draw at these stages, you know, for games coming up, because it's like, well, what basis can I actually, you know, what basis can we go to the game and think of a draw? And it kind of felt like that yesterday at the game. I mean, towards the end of the game, it was from about 50 minutes. It was pretty much all the second half. Like the feeling inside the stadium is almost just one of resentment at the moment. You know, you're resigned to the fact that, you know, we're not going to create chances. Like, people are getting excited now when we're getting about 30 yards away from the box. It's like, oh my God, come on. You're 30 yards from the box. Like, we're not even doing anything. you know.
Yeah, and I do think it's having a real impact on the fan base. I mean, we have, what is it, one of the best home records in the league. Yeah, attendance is still on improving because it's so bad to watch. And like, you know, Blackburn on Wednesday, their pricing, I think it was like £10-15 for a ticket. It's great pricing. And in a normal season, I think about going, but I'm not going to watch a team set up to draw 0-0 and lose 3-0.
Not on a Tuesday night.
And I've never heard so many people talk about not renewing their season tickets either. Like it's even just, weeks ago, like just random guys on the ground
last season. I did that last season partly because my dad also didn't want to go and I go with him, but also because the club was being so poorly run. I was fed up with it. It wasn't even the management at the time. And now the management as well. I think the club is starting to, seems like we're running it better. But now the manager of the football we play, I just can't wait to the end of the season. Hopefully we don't get anywhere close to relegation. This points deduction will be telling. And we can just part ways with Paul Lintz then, because I can't see him being sacked at all. I really can't.
Well, I've just had a quick time check and we've been going for 43 minutes. It's been a bit of a venting session today.
Yeah,
one of the things that came late on yesterday, Mr. Eddie Woolbank came out of the bushes again. He'd not popped up, I think, since October last year, but he came up with a tweet that probably whetted a number of fans' appetites and tweeting that understand the higher ups at Reading FC have growing doubts as to whether Paul Ince is the man to lead us next season. For the record, Ince's goal for the season has been to stay us up. I'm sure he will deliver on that goal. So he's part delivered on that. The question is around him being the best option to build and manage a team aiming for promotion.
Incredible. I'm not going to count in chickens until they've hatched or until he's been sacked, because I'm worried that he gets to the summer. Because I don't think he'll be sacked in the summer. I think either he's got to be sacked in the season, or he'll get to the summer and they'll think, oh, okay, fine, we'll just give him a few better players, we'll give him the summer to reset, and he'll go again, and then he'll be gone in October, and it's another kind of year wasted.
Yeah, great.
But I'd take him now. I mean, I'd have got rid of him weeks ago if I could have done. He's just.
Well, I think a lot of people have been in that kind of the personality, and I guess a lot of people have been in that case of, well, there's no point in sacking him now, you know, see it to the end of the season. Then we look at restructure. I've been in that camp of like, well, let's see out this season and reassess in the summer. But it's like, even myself now, I'm now just, what's the point in keeping him? There's no point in keeping him because nothing's getting better. Things are only getting worse. Nick, I mean, I think you've been in the same camp up until.
Yeah, I have. But I think at the minute I'm starting to, I'd say after that result, we didn't get any points from the last two and we're good at home. And we've just lost two home games, 1-0 in a row, without creating much. And it's like, with this points deduction, I am probably coming in. I am starting to panic a little bit, thinking, okay, I'm not worried about the bottom three. I think they're rubbish, but I'm worried about us not picking up any more points. We're not scoring goals. We're not keeping clean sheets. And if we get this deduction, and at least one of the bottom three gets 6 or 7 points with our goal difference as well, we're down. I am worried. I just don't know if there's financial implications there. I know it's, again, with the 6 points already, is that even relevant? I have no idea, but is that something we have to consider? And I just don't know who would want the job. Like, I think we're going to go on to this in a minute, but Graham Murty's the one being linked now, and Noel Hunt is probably the other option, but no one realistically experienced would touch us, and can we touch them anyway? I just I don't know. I'm just so deflated at the moment with it all, if I'm honest.
Well, on that point about Graham Murty, Alan Nixon reported that Reading are keeping tabs on Graham Murty, which it'll be an interesting one. He's been obviously linked before to a job at Reading. I think when Paulo got the job, and also obviously when Paulo was sacked, both times he was linked. Obviously, being a Reading legend, it's always going to happen. And when you get into coaching, I mean, what would your thoughts be around that? Because legends returning, it's always nice seeing, but are you living too much in the past, or is it kind of the best option that we might be able to get?
I mean, I won't claim to know a lot about his coaching history. I know he had a spell at Rangers where he was all right.
Yeah.
I would just clean to the end of the season, put him on a short-term contract, and then maybe move in, because he was doing the under-21s at Sunderland, where he is now. and then move him into like an academy role with Noel Hunt or something. Just we just need some kind of lift to the end of the season. Just get one or two more wins, just out of nowhere. Because I think a lot of managers can just come in and do that. Just get the new manager bounce. You know, we've got a whole next weekend. That's okay. We've got some okay fixtures coming up still. That we just have to win a couple of games. And I think the squad's okay to do that. Oh, I don't think I'd have Murty long term because, like I said, it's you don't want a legend to be tainted like that. And I don't think he's the best long term manager anyway. And it's not great. But just short term, just someone please come in.
I guess one of the biggest things, it's a manager that's never really managed before. He had that short stint with Rangers when he was caretaker. But it's like, you know, managers have got to start somewhere, right? You know, maybe a place like Reading, where he's so fondly remembered, it's going to be a good thing for him to start a career at Reading, because he'll be given a little bit more leeway by fans, by the board, because, you know, it's an easy win for the board if they bring, you know, someone like him in. You know, you kind of saw it in the summer when you know, they were bringing the likes of Bowen back into the fray. You know, it was easy wins. Long coming in as a player, got fans on side because he's a legend. You know, was it the best signing to make in that moment? Could be debatable, but, you know, it's an easy win if they do that. But I guess a lot has got to happen before we look at bringing Graham Murty in, you know. So, and it's only one rumour. I'm sure there'll be plenty more rumours kind of going around the rumour mill going forwards. Sadly, you know, we are where we are at the moment, and, you know, Ince is still in the building. He's still going to be manager, and, you know, unless things change, I can't see anything other than another loss against Blackburn in the week, you know, and it's probably going to be another 1-0. However depressing that is, it's probably going to be another 1-0, 2-0. Nick, what's your prediction for the Blackburn game?
I think we'll be thumped. I have no confidence in Ince changing it too much. I think Carroll's going to play again, or it'll be Cameron and Zhao. Like we said, that won't work. So I think we'll lose 3-0.
Callum, let's end on a positive prediction for the Blackburn game. Come on,
I think he'll start like Zhao or Fournier, maybe a couple of them, maybe start Aziz, but he'll start them with Carroll, and in such a bad setup that we'll lose anyway. So then he'll have an excuse to bench them for the whole of the weekend, and we'll go back to Carroll, Long, and Hendrick.
He's almost cutting your nose off to spite your face or whatever. Because
he's done it before, like you said earlier about the Borough away game. He like started a more attacking team then, just to say like, oh look, I'm an attacking manager, where I'm not playing the same. But it's like that, there's a time and a place. But
are you going with a loss then? You're not going to end on a positive note?
No, it will be a 1-0 loss, I think.
Oh, we've not even predicted a goal. Well, if you are going up to Blackburn, I hope that us three are just... We don't know anything. We're idiots that just have an opinion. Hopefully we do score. Hopefully we do win the game, and there's a bit of vindication for your travelling up to Blackburn, because people that have gone away from home this season deserve it. I know a couple of lunatics that have been to pretty much every single away game so far this season. Hats off to you guys, because I've caved in. I've given up on that side of things. And that will be it for this podcast. We will be back, obviously, reviewing the Blackburn game. Hopefully it's reviewing a win. We've got to get one at some point. I know it's not been too long since we lost to or beat Rotherham, but it feels like an eternity at the moment. So, but yeah, if you have also listened through to the end of this podcast, it's been a bit of a long one today, a joint venting session. Hopefully it's allowed you to let off some steam as well. If it has, of course, please give us a 5-star review on Apple, on Spotify, whatever your podcast of choice is. Obviously, they do go a long way, and we do very much appreciate them. Nick, Callum, thank you so much for joining me and kind of in this joint venting session. I don't know if I could have done this with anyone else, to be honest, because, it's thoroughly depressing. But being able to get some stuff off the chest and everything, and talk some interesting points. So thank you both for joining me. And we will, of course, join all of you on the next review of Reading. So we'll catch you all then.
Cheers, guys.